culture optimization is the root of all evil, or at least a good part of it. Another thing to really avoid is writing monolithic code. Now, you don't do that, right? But that sort of code is really hard to optimize because it's really hard to disentangle. How are you going to go and really make an appropriate optimization without getting into, you know, being able to take that piece and sequestering it out? Again, you want to be able to go and do this refinement as incrementally as possible, follow that demo philosophy. So development and isolation is, next thing that you want to avoid doing is definitely want to have code reviews, right? Because code that just kind of stands, that sits out there and has never been seen by any other person is likely not to be the easiest code to optimize. I work in open source, and so part of what we do is we, of course, have code reviews. You know, we're always reviewing each other's code, and the world is reviewing our code, which means that we have to be very conscientious about what we're putting out there. It's just hard to put out crap when you know that people are going to see this. So you're going to be paying everyone attention. Don't let the fact that this code might not be seen in the light of day prevent you from going and having other people look at stuff. One thing that is especially important is never develop in isolation. You are all here at this user group, learning some skills, maybe learning something from me. Writing code is a social process. Learning about best practices is a social process. There's nothing like having a beer with someone who's just really knowledgeable about something and really finding out what works and what doesn't work. So development in isolation is a bad strategy. And just in general, more share best practices. Next.
Don't share best practices.
If I got my double negatives mixed up, well, obviously, you know what I'm trying to say. Some other things here, getting back to thing, agile practice and all that good stuff. You want to really be able to focus on correctness, have a great test suite, because optimizing something you don't know what it actually does is not going to really help things. I mean, you might get away with it. It might be like a sort of refactoring that you're doing. I know this does exactly the same thing, but chances are, if it's anything substantial, that's not going to be the case. So do have that. I don't know if I was preaching to the choir and all these good things, but it is something that I've seen in terms of code in the wild. Where it's, you just can't do anything about that code because you have no understanding of what it's really supposed to be doing. We're going to talk a little bit, or a lot actually, about Python's performance model. It's an evolving model. We'll talk more about how it's evolving. But it's something that you have to have in the back of your mind is this is how certain operations perform, data structures, what have you. Another thing you really want to do is write your code. Well, we talked about how important it is to go and communicate with other people, but actually, clear code communicates with computers these days, too. Right? And increasingly, good compilers, and we're going to have increasingly good compilers for Python between what Jython is doing, what Unladen Swallow is doing, what C Python is not doing. That's because Unladen Swallow is just a branch to Kubernetes, right? But Iron Python presumably is doing. A lot of that work depends on optimizing code that is sort of the normal way of doing things. If you write elaborate, very clever code that no one else can figure it out, guess what? The compiler's not going to figure it out either. All right. So try to write clear code that does the right thing. And lastly, be data focused. Make your decisions on the data, especially the data that you see, not the data that I might be talking about. I'll mention a few things in terms of some performance factors where it really, again, becomes what you have done, what your data is. Next. So, profiling. Pretty important stuff to do. I actually use some different tools, mostly. I like this tool called YourKit, which we have a license for as an open source project, Jython. But one of the things, cProfile and Profile are definitely mainstays. Another tool that I think is perhaps not as used as much, but maybe, this is definitely a time for show of hands. So who uses Profile or cProfile? Okay, good. The rest of you should. Hymet. Pretty much the same people. Good, because that's it definitely, it's a tool that works in conjunction with cProfile or Profile. Has anyone here used dtrace? Good. Are you on the bug for dtrace to get that incorporated? All right, well, it'd be nice. And of course, there's also this, there's some other ways of doing it, like dtrace is the equivalent for something for Jython. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the next slide. So I didn't really talk about cProfile or whatever, because it really does require going and working through it. And I actually want to just focus on things that you can, once you've determined that this code is hot, which is what you would do with cProfile, what should you do next? And I like time it because it tells me something very useful about code I'm interested in working on. Micro benchmarks are often over-criticized. It's not your micro benchmark that's the problem, it's someone else's micro benchmark that's the problem. Okay? So if the micro benchmark is actually relevant to your code, then I think it's quite good to know the performance characteristics. And of course you have to think about how does this particular code get optimized away by smart compilers running on a cloud virtual machine, or doesn't get optimized anyway when it's running on CPython. The important thing is that you have to know about those operations, and I find that Timet is a great little tool that allows me to do what I'd like to do in Python in general, which is think in a very incremental fashion. I want to go and see, does this thing improve things? What is the data around that? I get to do it with Timet, and it has a sort of a funky little interface, you're putting in strings and so forth, get used to it. It's a good tool. I'm sure we could probably improve upon that, but it does, again, fit this sort of style of try things, see what actually works, and get some data around that. So next.